my first love, but I wanted to share the story of my first love this week. And the apple of my eye, the object of my affections, the first thing that I remember loving and the first thing that meant so much in my life, the one who consumed my thoughts and my time and my energy. And so I had a video ready to play for you, and we ended up out here, but it's okay because we have bottled water and a good time. So, but I'm gonna have Josh play a little clip right now. This is a little something I want you to know about my first love. Please don't laugh because my feelings will be hurt, but this is my first love. Okay, that's enough. People are laughing. That's fine. Okay. That's some early 90s goodness right there, people, okay? Some of you are like, that song's older than I am. I can't believe he's playing that. I'm just being honest. That's what that is, okay? That, my friends, is a group called DC Talk. Some of you have heard of them. If you haven't, it probably means you have a life, all right? But I grew up in a Christian family, and so DC Talk was a Christian group that I found out about in third grade. This guy that I looked up to told me that he didn't have any money to pre-order a tape. And I was like, well, I'll order that just to impress this guy. And I went and got it. And the first time I heard DC Talk, my heart was complete. They were equal parts white and hip-hop, two things that I am. And so we united, and we were good. This was third grade, and I was in love. It was a game changer. And so I started watching these guys. I started doing everything day that I went and bought, like, snap-billed hats, and I would wear vests over T-shirts like Boys to Men and DC Talk. I owned a sock hat at one point. If you don't know what that is, go home and Google it. You'll not respect me anymore. I used to go to a ton of their concerts. I used to dress like them. I got their newsletter in the mail long before email or social media. I would go buy accompaniment tapes so I could pretend to be them when I would wear an Air Jordan tank top at church camp, and me and my friends would do the dances. This consumed my life, and it was truly my first love. And so that started in third grade, and it went on for about 10 years of my life, probably closer to 15 if I'm being honest, but let's say 10, so you still respect me. So that was my first love, and it started in third grade, like I said. I remember a period in eighth grade, though, where I started noticing girls, and I started thinking that basketball and popularity were what made the world go around. And so I kind of fell out of love with DC Talk, and they came out with a new album, and a guy at my church gave me some free tickets. And lo and behold, my dad took me to this concert. I ended up in the front row, and I was just totally enthralled again and, like, completely in love. And so I went into a new phase where everything was great, and I started buying more T-shirts. And I would literally go see these guys, like, twice a year and do all this stuff. And, you know, but after a while, in between album cycles, you know, I'd kind of be in love and kind of be awesome, and I'd be all Mr. DC Talk, and then things would kind of fall off. And I eventually got to college, and, guys, DC Talk broke up. And, yeah. It was really sad, all right? I got to be honest. It was one of those things I was like, that's been my life. Where am I going? What's going on? But then one of the guys decided to go solo. His name was Toby Mac, and clearly he was the white hip-hop one I loved anyway. So I just forgot about the other guys and jumped on the train of Toby Mac. And a few years ago, he was in town, and my friend was a part of this concert, and he said, hey, we need someone to drive Toby around. Could you do that? And I was like, Toby? Oh, yeah, I could probably do that, I guess, you know, so... I went and got a van and got to drive him and his family around, and we were talking about adoption and life, and I was just, like, drooling all day. And, you know, so I had a peak in third grade, had one in eighth grade, had some in high school and college, and my fanboyness, you know, just kind of seemed to come back. And yet, I've got to be honest, those days have kind of passed. They don't dominate my thoughts anymore. I'm not wearing a sock hat. I'm not wearing a wooden cross necklace that I bought at a concert, at least not on top of my shirt that you can see. And so I've changed, and the things that you see have changed. But that was my first love. That was what I was obsessed with. Like I said, that's what owned my thoughts and my life. And that's all I could think about. That's who I was. And that's what I did. And, I think we've all probably had something that we've gone through a phase of love like that, right? For some people, as I'm talking about that, you're thinking of a girl that you loved in sixth grade, and you're like, yep, that was her. For some people, it was a first job. For some people, it was a group of friends. For other people, you know, it might have been One Direction. Maybe you're a little younger than me, and maybe this is just 2 years ago, you know. But everybody's had something that they've fallen in love with. They've become obsessed with it, and they've ridden the high of love. But if we're being honest, sometimes love doesn't stick around, right? Sometimes we feel like we fall in and out of love. Sometimes we feel like love falls off. Sometimes we feel like over time love fades, and then all of a sudden just you look around and you realize it's gone. It happens in every relationship, and it happens even in our most important relationship. As we've been talking about the fact that we want to help people find their way back to God, we want people to have a relationship with God. Sometimes in our relationship with God, we feel like nothing's happening. We feel like we're not growing. We feel like we've lost sight of Him. And all of a sudden, something gives us a moment of clarity. Something makes us look back and say, wow, I used to really be in love. Wow, things used to really be different. Things used to be a lot more intense. I used to be a lot more focused. And we look back and we realize that we've grown stale, or that we lack excitement, or that things have changed. And so we want to look at a passage today in Revelation chapter 2 and talk about what it looks like to be in love with Jesus, to treat Him as our first love, and to hold Him as our first love. And so if you want to turn there, you can go ahead and do that. We're going to be on page 965 in a lot of the Bibles that you've got there. If you've got kind of a pond, water, swamp scene on the front, it's page 965. But if not, we'll be in Revelation 2. You can look that up in the table of contents. And today we're starting a new series called Letters to Movement. And this series is based off of the concept. There are a lot of different letters in the Bible, a lot of letters and books that make up the New Testament that Paul and others wrote to churches, and just kind of usually would say, hey, here's what's going on in your life, here's what's going on in your church, here's some things I'd like you to think about, to stay aware of, here's some ways that you can grow, some things that you can be conscious of, and these are some things that I just want you to see. Sometimes the letters that we find in the New Testament were relational. Sometimes, you know, people in the church were fighting. Luckily, I don't think we have any of that going on today. I didn't see any brawls breaking out, but hopefully no one will punch you on the way to your car. Sometimes it was more theological, and people were believing things that weren't true, or they had fallen for false teaching. And so these letters would be written and say, hey, church, here's something that I want you to think about. And so these next 4 weeks, we want to just talk about some things that apply to our church. Sarah mentioned that we're a young church. We're a church that's still forming, still getting started. And over this next year, we think we're at a very pivotal time where we want to see just more culture and more things in our foundation established. And so we want to talk about those. And the first one starts today as we kind of set the fabric of Movement Church and read through Revelation chapter 2. Be around verses 1 to 7, like I said, on page 965. So let me read this passage and just give you some background. We're going to be reading a letter that was written to the church in Ephesus. And this, actually, in this section, there's a lot of different letters that are written to seven different churches. Now, these are letters that were written to actual churches, all right? So this isn't like Harry Potter, where this is a dream world and it's made up, all right? This is actually written to a real church that existed in Ephesus, and yet also it's very true and can be applied to the church today. And so we're going to be there. This was a church that probably would have been in like the Hall of Fame of churches. I'll read you some of the people that went to this church and were involved in it, all right? The Apostle Paul, he's kind of a big deal, right? All right. Aquila and Priscilla, Apollos, Timothy. I mean, these people that are famous all throughout the New Testament, who helped shape the church and helped write some different books and things. And so they were involved in this church, and this is a letter that's written to them. So let me read this. Verse 1 says this. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I said it wasn't a fantasy world like Harry Potter, and now you're thinking, wait, that actually sounds a lot like Harry Potter. I'm not sure what's going on there. That intro is just to say, these are the words that Jesus is giving to his church, all right? He's the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand. He's the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands, just to say he is all-knowing, he is all-powerful, and this is a message from him. And so that's basically a way to set this letter up, that Jesus loves us, Jesus knows us. He knows this church. He watches the universal church. He's watching what's going on, and he wants us to have deep fellowship with him. And so it's just a way of saying that he's watching and that he loves his church. And so let's go on here in verse 2. It says this. I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen from your first love. Turn back to me again and work as you did at first. If you don't, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. Verse 2 starts, it says, I know all the things you do. Jesus knows and watches what goes on amongst believers and amongst the church, like I said, and he's giving this church some feedback. And he says this, I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You've examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You've discovered they're liars. You've patiently suffered for me without quitting. And he's talking to this church, and he's talking to the people in this church, and he's saying, you've worked hard. You've done some great things, and you've worked hard. These are people that have given blood, sweat, and tears to this ministry. These are people who have wanted to see this church be built, and these are people who they're recognizing right here that their deeds, their sweat equity has built a church, and that's a good thing. I mentioned that these letters can be applied to almost every church situation, the modern church. And if you've been a part of movement long, there's many people here who have given some sweat equity, some people who have worked hard to help us build this church, right? There are people who carried these chairs outside today. There are people who were like, why do we have to put water in that tank? That's so weird. Why do I have to watch these kids? We're doing trunk or treat out in the community. How many pieces of candy do I have to buy? Why is a helicopter dropping eggs? We've done a lot of different things in the last year and a half, 2 years, to help start a church and to help reach the city of Hilliard. And this church is the same way. These people had let their deeds back up their talk. They'd been dedicated, and they'd persevered, and they'd done ministry and been strong. In fact, some people had come along who were false teachers, who were saying things that weren't true, who were saying bad things that were unbiblical and not lining up with the character of God. And so they had even had to listen to that and kind of vet those people out and chase those people away. And so this is a church, people who had been dedicated to the work of the ministry, people who had given their time and their energy. This wasn't a spectator sport, right? They weren't like a country club church. These were people who were doing ministry, who were loving people, who were building the church, and they were actively involved in this work. That's the setup. But verse 4 says this: "But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first." This is what Jesus is saying to the church. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. You've lost your first love. Now, it's not like falling out of love with your favorite 90s hip-hop group that you fell in love with in third grade. This is a bigger deal, right? You've lost your first love. And so it says the church in Ephesus loved the work of ministry. They loved religious things. They loved the concept of being a church and all the stuff they got to do more than they loved Jesus, the one that they should be focused on, the one that they should be devoted to. They'd left their first love. The statement doesn't suggest that they don't love Christ at all anymore. It doesn't mean that they've completely turned their back, but it means that the quality of their love had weakened. The phrase first love means to depart or leave alone, forsake, neglect, and it's a phrase that's kind of used in the Bible to describe divorce and what can happen sometimes in a relationship when people grow apart, when people grow weak in their relationship. Jesus wants a close, intimate relationship with us. We're told to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and our strength. But sometimes we don't get that. We have to be weary of where our love is, where our heart is, where our attention is, where our focus is. And so our big idea for this morning is this: when the love is gone, your posture is wrong. When the love is gone, your posture is wrong. And sometimes, when we look at our hearts, when we look at our relationship, we look at the way that we're focused at Jesus, we have to be honest that we've changed, that we're not turned toward him, we're not looking at him, we're not focused on him, we're focused on something else. When you lose your car keys, where are they? If you live in my house, they're wherever your kids put them when they stole them. But if you're a normal person, they're wherever you left them, right? When you lose your phone, you call it, it's plugged into the charger, and then you realize you're not very smart, right? When you lose something, it's wherever you left it. And sometimes that describes our relationship with Jesus. We think that things are complicated, and we're like, oh, I just don't feel the same. I don't have the magical feelings. What happened? Sometimes that relationship is right where we left it. And as we turned our attention and turned our focus and looked elsewhere, we realize that we've walked away from that. We've turned our back on him. I read a story this week of a couple driving home from church. The wife was sitting in the front seat on the far right side, passenger side, and her husband was in his usual place behind the steering wheel. It seemed like there was a huge distance between them. With lonely eyes, she looked up at him and said, "Honey, do you remember when we first met, how close we used to sit to each other? You used to put your arm around me. What happened to those days?" With one hand firmly attached to the steering wheel and the other resting on the empty seat between them, he said, "Well, I haven't moved." The distance wasn't because their car magically got wider, right? That it turned into a 12-person front seat. It was just that over time, their attention turned to other things. Over time, their attention turned away from their relationship. And so here's a question that we want to answer this morning, honestly. Can you honestly say that you love Jesus more today than you did last year? If someone were to pose that question to you. For those of you who know Jesus, who have a relationship with him, who spend time with him, can you say that you love him more dearly, more intimately this year than you did last year? This has been a convicting thing to think about and study about and prepare for this week, because that's a powerful question to ask a group of people, and I'm glad that there's not a stage, because I wouldn't want to be standing up on here acting like I've got love and my relationship with Jesus all figured out. It's something that as I say that, I feel guilty. There are times that I feel like my relationship falls off, right? And my attention goes elsewhere. And I go through seasons of turning my attention and my focus away from my first love. And I forget who Jesus is and what he's done for us. So what does it look like if we know that we've lost our first love? What should we do if our love is slipping? Verse 5 says this: "Look how far you have fallen from your first love. Turn back to me again and work as you did at first." And so I want to give us three things that we can work on if we just feel like our relationship with Jesus is not where it should be, if we feel like we've lost that love and feeling, as the song goes, right? If we feel like we've turned our back on our first love and we don't know where our relationship with Christ is headed. Here's some things that we can do. The first thing of those is that we need to remember where we were. We need to remember where we've fallen from. That verse said, "Look how far you've fallen." And the word that's used here for fallen means a state of spiritual decline. Sometimes if we're being honest, we look at our relationship with Jesus, we look at our loving relationship with him, and we're gonna have to say, you know what, there's been a decline, there's been a fall off, there's been an occasional slip on our part, on my part. This church fell from a deep love for Christ. They fell from fellowship with the Lord. And sometimes we need to remember who Jesus is, why he came to this earth, what he did when he gave his life and died on the cross for our sins, and how he has given us a relationship, he has given us access, he has given us a bridge to God, our Father. If we remember the love that we initially had for Jesus when we came to understand those things, we remember the joy, the enthusiasm, the excitement that we used to have to spend time with God, to pray and to read his word and to share the gospel with people, we just need to think on those things, to remember those things. When the love is gone, your posture is wrong. And so how do we change our posture and get that love, that first love feeling back in our life? We have to remember where we were and how we've fallen. The second thing that we have to do is repent. Verse 5 said, "Look how far you've fallen from your first love. Turn back to me again." And so the word repent actually means to turn. It's a word that means to take an about face. And so if you're walking this way, if you're headed this way, that you will literally turn the complete opposite direction and face the other way. And so if you feel like you've been walking towards some things and you notice that your relationship with Jesus is not right and you've been walking toward your image, you've been walking toward being rich enough that you'll be happy, you've been walking toward a raise, you've been walking towards someone that you want to love you, and you've been looking at these things to define you, sometimes you'll look back and remember that your first love, that Jesus, the one who gave his life for you, is behind you. And sometimes you have to be honest and say, you know what, I'm in a state of decline. I'm walking in the wrong direction. I'm going to turn around and face the other way. You have to remember who Jesus is and what he's done for us. But you also have to repent and sometimes turn back toward him and turn away from the things that are in your life. And so if you're someone who's very task-driven, someone who loves to do things of ministry, someone who loves to read and to study and can sometimes be distracted, as this church was, you might have to be someone who will just spend time in the presence of God. You might have to spend time in the presence of God in your car. Maybe you go out in the woods. I don't know. Maybe you play guitar. And you can sing and you can pray and you can talk to him. And you can find an intimacy again in talking to God and having a relationship with him. If you're someone who spends time around people that you feel like are not really pushing you to love God, you may have to maximize your time around godly people. I'm not saying only hang out with Christians, but I'm saying you may need to be around people who encourage you. It's a little hint to join a movement group in case you didn't notice, all right? But if you want to be like God, if you want to be encouraged in your relationship with God, if you want to remember what Jesus has done for you, you want to repent, you may have to spend some time around godly people. You may have to look at your schedule and say, you know what? I'm too busy. I don't have time to do my devotions because I'm working 16 hours a day. Maybe you've created a culture and because of your job, because of just your schedule and different things, maybe you're so busy you can't be focused on anything except the things that take your time. And you might have to say, you know what, I need to change my schedule, change my priorities, change my job, change my life so that I can remember and repent toward my first love. You might have to be the kind of person that's going to ramp up your discipline and say, all right, if I'm going to remember who Jesus is and remember that he's my first love, I'm going to have to spend time with him. Every time I would go to a concert, I'd be reminded of how awesome DC Talk was and how I wanted to be Toby Mac when I grew up in life, right? Probably not a coincidence, right? That I was there, I was looking at them, I was in their presence, and I was focused on them. You can't expect to just magically be in love with Jesus if you never talk to him, if you never spend time with him. And sometimes that means putting an appointment in your phone. It might mean having a daily reminder to wake up or to pray at a certain time or to read God's word so that you're focused on him, so that you're in line with him, and so you know what he's doing in your heart and your life. When the love is gone, your posture is wrong. And so we can get our first love back by remembering who Jesus is, by repenting from the things we're walking toward, and by redoing the things that we used to do. Most of us can think of a time in our relationship with God that we were, quote, on fire, that things were great, right? That we were focused and we were happy and we felt like we were so close to God. It might have been because of a certain circle of friends we had. It might be because of a Bible study we were in. It might be because of an accountability partner. It might be because we were reading a book or because we were reading through the Bible in a certain way, or we were part of a prayer group. And as those things stop, our relationship has changed, right? Just like that married couple that says, hey, we used to go on dates every week and we used to be so in love, and what happened? Well, guess what? You stopped dating. And so sometimes in our relationship with Jesus, if we feel like we've lost that first love feeling, we need to redo the things that we used to do, the things that got us in love with him, the things that led us to have a close personal relationship with him. We have to redo the things that we used to do. This passage urges this church to do the deeds that they did at first. There's a passage in James that says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And if so, there are things that you've done in your life, things that made you feel close to God, things that drew you close to him, don't be afraid to go back and do those things. That's why I mentioned singing in the woods. That's right through these windows here, there's some treadmills, and it might sound weird. One of my favorite things to do, one of the things I think that focuses me the most is praying on these treadmills. Some of you know that I don't have the greatest attention span in the world at times, and so I like to get on the front row of treadmills where I'm looking at the wall. There's nothing that can really distract you. There might be some ESPN, but after like your fifth time of SportsCenter, you're so bored. And so I like to stand on that treadmill and pray, because it's something that I'm focused, I'm in one spot, and I feel like I can talk to God. I think things come to my mind and to my heart, and so I've been able to do that for the last couple of years, but it's something sometimes I get out of the habit of doing. It's something that I need to redo, something that I need to discipline myself to do and focus. And so when the love is gone, your posture is wrong. Sometimes to capture our first love again, we need to remember, we need to repent, we need to redo. There's a part at the end of this passage that's kind of weird, where it says that if the church doesn't focus on these things, that they'll be removed from a sphere of effectiveness, or they'll be removed from their impact. I mean, it's weird. Is that a threat? What's going on there? Here's the reality. The longer that you don't focus on your love, the longer that you focus on other things, the more it changes that relationship. And so I don't look at it as a terrible threat, but I look at it as a promise that's true to the church. If we take our eyes off of our first love, if we're focused on things and tasks and our image and all the stuff that we're supposed to do, eventually we'll be a church that's ineffective. This happened to the church that this is written to, the church in Ephesus. When Islam came into the nation of Turkey, into this area, Christianity was basically wiped out. And so the church and the town and the place that this is written to, there's no church today to speak of. There's no church in that region. There's no church around there. In fact, it's a very unchristian area. I think that has something to do with them losing sight of their love. And sometimes as Christian people, we focus on a lot of things. We focus on the fact that we want people to know how good we are. We want people to notice how nice we are, how much we love Jesus and how we bake better cookies than everyone else. We focus on a lot of good, churchy, religious, ministry-driven, image-driven things. And those things are things in our lives that should be because of the result of our love for Jesus, but sometimes we put them in front of our love of Jesus and we make an idol out of them. Nothing should get in the way of our first love. Nothing should get in the way of us longing to be more like Jesus. Nothing should get in the way of our relationship with Jesus, and nothing should get in the way of us praying to him, spending time with him, and reading his word so that we can know him and so that he can change our character. And if we feel like we've fallen out of relationship with him, if we feel like our relationship with him has changed, if we feel like we've declined or slid in our relationship with him, we need to remember who he is and what he's done. We need to repent from the things that we've been doing and turn the other way. We need to redo the things that got us in love with him in the first place, the things that used to lead our life. I saw a TV show this week, and there was a guy on the show who was having an affair, and he was talking to the lady he was having an affair with, and he just said something like, he likes to look her in the eyes. He said, let me just look in your eyes. And he said, I like to gaze in your eyes. And I thought it was just so random. I'm thinking, you know whose eyes you should be gazing in? Your wife. Have you met her? You remember your wife? You know, and as I'm studying for this, I'm just realizing that sometimes there are a lot of things that we make into a mistress. There are a lot of things that get our attention. There are a lot of things that distract us, a lot of things that take our attention off our first love. And sometimes it's not rocket science. Sometimes we're just gazing at a mistress. Sometimes we're gazing at the wrong thing. Sometimes we have attention on the wrong thing. And we're spending so much time looking at that thing. We're around that thing, we fall in love. Sometimes we need to turn our attention and our focus back to Jesus. Sometimes we need to turn our attention and our focus back to the one who loves us, the one who gave his life for us, the one who came and lived on this earth and was crucified so that he could take our sins, so that we could give our life to him, so that we could have life in him, be made free, be made whole, live eternally in heaven with God the Father. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that and be focused of that and keep our eyes on him and look to him. That's what I want for Movement Church. I hope that this didn't come across as judgmental or crazy, but I want us to be a church that people can see a lot of cool things. They can see that we care about them, that we have a great atmosphere, that we have flags out front, that we might have coffee or bottles of water in buckets on the weeks we get kicked out of the gym. That's not important, all right? We want them to see, though, that first and foremost, we love Jesus and we are passionate about him, and he is the front of everything we do. That's what they see. That's what they know. That's what they encounter. When they see us, they're seeing Jesus. For that to be the case, he has to be our first love. He has to be the one who leads us, the one that we spend time with, the one that we intimately know, the one who's directing our church. And so we've got a hashtag up here next to Bald Mark, that's me, that I'm hoping that no one will actually hashtag, all right? But I'm hoping that maybe you'll take a moment right now. We want to have a little hashtag party here. We've hashtagged this series, Letters to Movement. I would love for you to just make a commitment right now, something that's struck your heart today, something as you think about your first love, as you think about your relationship with Jesus, something that needs to change, maybe a quote that was said or something that you think, you know what, that's something that's declined in my life, that's something that's fallen off, that's something I need to work on. It might just be saying, I need to spend more time in God's word. Hashtag that, Letters to Movement. You might say, I need to spend more time praying to God. I need to spend more time around godly people. Whatever that is, go ahead and hashtag that, because we're hoping that will encourage people as they follow that. We're hoping that your friends and that people that are looking at your life will ask you about that and say, hey, I saw that you mentioned this. What's that about? And you'll have a chance to share what God is doing in your life, what God's doing in your heart. And so I want to give you a moment to do that. It might be a little too modern America and unspiritual to ask you to pull out your phone, but we want to have a concrete action step. Maybe you'll see that later. Maybe your friends will comment on social media. Maybe someone will retweet that or reply back and say, hey, what was that about? And so you'll be reminded of that on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday. And so go ahead. I promise no one's judging you. You won't lose your salvation. Pull your phone out if you want to put something up. Whatever God is doing in your heart, whatever he's reminding you, if you want to just say, I've taken my eyes off my first love. I need to spend more time with Jesus. However you want to word that, whatever is taking hold in your heart, and then hashtag that, Letters to Movement. We want you to be able to have an action step and take this into the week. But we want to be a church that is obsessed with our first love, and a church that is focused on our first love. And so we want to remember, we want to repent, and we want to redo the things that first made us fall in love with Jesus. We'll just let Josh play here, and you can go ahead and put something up real quick. Let me go ahead and close our time out in prayer. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for giving your son Jesus, for sending your son Jesus, Lord, so that we can be found in him, so that we can be complete in him, Lord, so that we can know love and we can be consumed by his love. Lord, we fall in and out of love with a lot of things. We give our attention to a lot of things. Lord, I pray that we will be a church that gives our attention and our love, consistent love and devotion to you and to your son Jesus. Lord, help us to remember our first love. Help us to remember the passion that sometimes we once understand and fall away from or decline from. Lord, help us to be a church that has our eyes on you, that is focused on you, that spends time with you, that wants to have intimacy with you and fellowship with you and pray to you and spend time in your word. God, help us to be a church that has our eyes on our first love. Lord, help us to take whatever steps need to be taken to do that. Lord, help us to not be distracted by things in our lives that are ungodly, but help us to not be distracted by things that are seemingly good, things that maybe even are connected to. Lord, I pray that those things will not take our eyes off of you. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the chance to be with your church, to pray to you and to talk and to be in your presence. Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen.